From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. The space shuttle program is grounded, and space exploration is not big on the government's agenda. It looks like a manned mission to Mars may be a long way off. And yet the nonprofit Mars One, based in the Netherlands, is already taking applications for potential colonists for a planned human settlement on the Red Planet by 2023. Whether or not they succeed, research into the logistics of long-distance space travel is well underway. Between 2010 and 2011, a group of international scientists completed the Mars 500 project, a simulated trip to Mars that put five volunteers in an isolated environment for 17 months. Now the first batch of many studies of the Mars 500 project has been released, including one analyzing the sleeping habits of the crew. Matthias Basner is an assistant professor of sleep and chronobiology in psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania. He's co-author of the study. Welcome to the show, Dr. Basner.
Hello.
Could you briefly outline the Mars 500 project and its goals?
Well, actually, Mars 500 was a series of studies, like a 14-day feasibility study and then a 105-day pilot study, and then culminating in a full-fledged, high-fidelity, 520-day simulated mission to Mars with a simulated mid-mission Mars landing, simulated communication delays, 24/7 mission control. And this is what our paper is about, this last study.
Who was in the crew?
There were actually six crew members, three Russian, two European, and one Chinese. And in that respect, it's historic. It's the first time that the Chinese participated in these kinds of simulations. And it's also with 520 days, it's also unprecedented. It's the longest simulation, the longest period of time that humans spent in isolation and confinement so far.
What can't be simulated on a mission, on a project like this?
I beg your pardon, come again?
What cannot be simulated? Of course, you put them in cramped quarters, you give them the food, you make them feel like what landing is like, but what can you not simulate?
Exactly. So there's basically three things that could not be simulated. One is the microgravity, which you cannot simulate on Earth. The other one is the radiation risk that real travelers to Mars would face. The International Space Station is still in low Earth orbit, which means it's protected by Earth's magnetic field. But if you travel to and from Mars, you will be exposed to radiation. Mm-hmm. And the third thing, of course, is the real threat to life. I mean, these subjects could have withdrawn from the study at any point and say, you know, this is it. And there was no real threat to life. If you do travel to Mars, you know, that is, of course, there's a substantial threat.
Mm-hmm. Now, your portion was on studying and analyzing sleep. How were the men, and they were all men, how was their sleep habits monitored?
Well, actually, they were wearing actigraphs. These are small wristwatch-like devices that measure how vigorous somebody is moving. And this is typically very good to look at rest activity patterns. So if somebody's sleeping and not moving at all, the device would recognize that. And also, if the crew members were awake, we could detect how vigorously they were moving and how active they were during the wake period.
So that measures what? The real REM sleep, relaxing sleep versus movement?
No, actually, that we can do with this technology. You have to measure the EEG, the brain waves, to get that information. It's really just, you know, whether somebody is sleeping or not sleeping. Mm-hmm. And actually, what we observed in these subjects is that after a period of 3 to 4 weeks after hatch closing, which was very busy, and obviously they had to get used to the new environments and all the scientific experiments that they had to do, that a kind of monotony kicked in, and that they overall slept longer and longer, and even if they were awake, they were less active during wakefulness.
I guess you can only watch reruns in space for so long. But you did see in the report that the crew members seemed to react differently to the lack of a day-night sleep cycle. Could you describe how their sleep schedules changed?
Yeah, I think, you know, and this is one of the most important findings of this study, that there were really huge inter-individual differences in how the crew responded to this prolonged period of confinement and isolation. I already said that, you know, most of them, that is five of the crew members, actually slept longer with time in mission, with ongoing mission, time in mission. But there was one crew member that slept shorter and shorter, and actually he was chronically sleep depriving himself up to the point where he was responsible for 80% of the errors that in an attention test that we had them perform. There was another crew member that actually stopped living on the 24-hour day. He wasn't entrained to the 24-hour day anymore, but he lived internally on a 25-hour day. Obviously, you know, so you could say like every 12 days, it was the biological night for him and the biological day for the rest of the crew. Uh-huh. That also meant that he was somewhat disconnected from the rest. We estimated that in almost 20% of the time, he was the only one awake or the only one sleeping. And you can imagine that if there are mission-critical tasks scheduled during the day and it's the biological night for him, that actually is a problem and may pose a risk for mission success.
Dr. Matthias Bosner is with us. He's assistant professor of sleep and chronobiology and psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania. He's talking about a simulated mission to Mars, putting six men together for 520 days to study various things about the logistics of sending someone to space. We're focusing today on sleep. So any big surprises in monitoring the sleep patterns and habits of the crew member for you, Doctor?
Again, I would say that, you know, that this huge differential vulnerability is really the biggest surprise. And that just shows us that we have to find markers of this vulnerability to be able to select the right crew, to train them properly, and to provide them with individual countermeasures on a real mission to Mars. And interestingly, looking at our data, you know, these symptoms, like the one subject that slept less and less and the one developing this non-24-hour sleep-wake pattern, these symptoms or these inadequate coping strategies really developed very early during the mission, like within the first month, and then persisted throughout rather than showing up at the very end, which probably gives us the possibility to, you know, subject prospective crew members going on a real mission to Mars, to subject them to like a 2 or 3 month simulation and then see whether they're susceptible to these kind of coping strategies or behaviors, which is much easier than, you know, sending them on a real or on a like 17 month simulated mission to Mars.
Well, before we run out of time, I want to know, have you figured out any ways to counteract some of these patterns and problems with sleep?
Yes, I mean, one thing is, you know, try to fight the monotony. You know, they had At 7 p.m. they were off, and, you know, there was really nothing else for them to do, and so that would be one thing. The other very important thing is the lighting. The lighting they used in this simulated spacecraft was normal fluorescent light. It wasn't bright enough. It didn't have the right spectral composition. And this one crew member that developed this non-24-hour sleep-wake rhythm actually exposed himself to light at the wrong time of the day. So this is something that needs to be changed in a real spacecraft. The light needs to be bright enough. It has to have the right spectral composition. And, you know, probably Earth's natural light-dark cycle should be simulated with the light.
Well, Dr. Bosner, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Matthias Bosner, assistant professor of sleep and chronobiology in psychiatry at UPenn. He is one of the co-authors of a study, or involved in the study, of simulating spaceflight to Mars on a crew. You can find links to his study as well as pictures of the formerly isolated crew at wordofmouthradio.org. How about you? Do you think your sleep schedule could endure 520 days without sunlight? Let us know what you think at wordofmouthradio.org or message us on Facebook or Twitter. Now coming up, we're going to get a closer look at the culture and lifestyle of Mali's Tuareg population and listen to the music of Tuareg musician Bambino. That's when Word of Mouth continues.